Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The loss of a child is devastating, but losing a child to suicide takes a particularly severe toll on the parents left behind. But there are ways to navigate that shock, the confusion, the despair, and to begin the healing process. And I'm joined by Dr. Harry Barry, GP and mental health specialist, here with me in the studio. And from our Limerick studio, we have Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. And thank you both for joining us to deal with it's a really difficult
topic. Oh, this is a very difficult one, but it's a very important one, because we you know, I was introduced to the term suicide survivor, you know, a number of years ago. And to my innocence at the time, I thought it meant that somebody who had a suicide attempt and survived. But no, a suicide survivor is actually the term we use for those loved ones left behind. Mm-hmm. And of all of the groups, I think it's the parents of particularly a younger, maybe adolescent or younger children. But to be honest, a parent of a child of any age.
You've had a lot of experience dealing with people who are in this situation, right?
It's just terrible. And there'll be no sugar coating in this particular piece, Claire. This mm-hmm. is tough. Do you know what I mean? So I think, you know, the first thing we have to say is that you become a member of a new club, a special club. And the only people who can really understand it are other parents who have been in the same situation. And I think we underestimate the emotional impact. It's just huge. It's absolutely massive.
Just so the emotional pain of it.
The emotional sadness. The sadness is, I mean, mothers will tell you they've just gone mad with grief. Do you know what I mean? And the pain and every solitary anniversary, do you know what I mean? Every birthday, every Christmas, every, you know, from then on becomes a new trigger. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think the second emotion, apart from that incredible sadness, which is due to the loss of the person they love, is actually guilt. And I think there's enormous guilt. It's kind of nearly trying to subsume the sadness. And it's all about, you know, what did I miss? You know, why did I not see
why
something? Why didn't it come to me?
Mm-hmm.
And all of those questions that destroy people, to be honest, really. It would be my experience, if there was one word in the English language that I would love to get rid of in terms of this particular area, it's the word why.
Anne-Marie, to bring you in on this, and Harry said there's no sugarcoating it, and we have to acknowledge it is so difficult, but sadly there are very many people in this country who have had to deal with this in their lives, aren't there?
There are many people, and a bereavement by suicide is hard for anybody, but I think it can be especially hard for parents, because it's our expectation, I suppose, when we become parents, that we will outlive our children. So the loss of a child is always, always very difficult, but it becomes even more complicated because it's arising from suicide. So people do ask why a lot. So they feel all those emotions Harry mentions of sadness and despair and disbelief. And sometimes they will also experience shame and guilt, even when they understand that there was nothing they could have done. Those feelings will still persist. And that really complicates the bereavement experience for people. If you're a parent who's lost a child because of an illness, you will find many communities open to you to reflect on that. But when you have lost a child to suicide, it's harder to find those communities. It's more difficult to talk about. And it shouldn't necessarily be so, but it is for people. And that also complicates the experience.
And Anne-Marie, do parents who go through this also feel a very strong sense of rejection, you know, alongside that shame and guilt that we mentioned?
They can. And because of that, I suppose, because it's so complicated, they can experience these feelings of rejection. But they also, and this isn't everybody, this is just, I suppose, looking at the average, if you can even do that experience, hiding or masking people's grief and emotions is quite common, because people are concerned about judgment and stigmatisation. So people do report, if they're bereaved through suicide, that there are higher levels of stigma compared with those bereaved from some other sudden death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though historically it's terrible, but there was a criminal offence associated with suicide, and that's no longer the case. But of course, because life is so important to us and we do everything we can to preserve life, when someone makes that decision to take their own life, it leaves very complicated feelings around, and that makes it more difficult for people. They feel rejected, they feel confused, they ask why, and they're not sure where to go with that, and people aren't always sure what to say either. Okay, so if you do lose a child through illness, there are just more communities there that are able to say or to understand it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But when it's through suicide, it's harder for people, and they're left with these very complex emotions, and they're often struggling without access to the supports that are there as well.
And struggling as well, Harry, to find meaning in all of this.
Yeah, I think, there are a number of different challenges that parents face. Like, they face this incredible loneliness. I don't think anybody talks about this loneliness, this terrible feeling of, we're on our own here. Do you know what I mean? And the loneliness that the person they loved is gone. Do you know what I mean? And what to do with the child's clothes and their room. Everybody's saying, come on, you have to change everything, get rid of everything. And they don't want to do that because the smell of the child is still on the clothes. The memory of the child is still there. Mm. And I think
should you have to.
You shouldn't have to. But but people, well-meaning people feel, no, you have to move on. Do you know what I mean? And of course, that's the disaster. And I think, this whole thing of what to say to the person, this was something that was very interesting to me, that parents said to me that they got sometimes very upset when people were talking to them, because people would say the wrong things with all the very best of intentions. And then other people, other parents would say, I wish to God they would stop talking just about my child. You know what I mean? I want to let them talk about ordinary things, normal things. So particularly men, that would be an issue. But I think many parents then struggle to find meaning, because if you think about it, if you lose your child, it's very interesting. Some parents become more religious, more spiritual. Other parents become quite agnostic. Other parents look for meaning in other ways. Do you know what I mean? They might look for meaning, for example, to set up a group. Do you know what I mean? To try to, for example, people who are wandering up and down rivers and places of danger, do you know what I mean, are often doing that out of a will to find some meaning. In other words, they want the death of their child to mean something. So they find meaning through that. But for some parents, they struggle to find meaning at all. Do you know what I mean? To them, it'll never make any sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, and we're going to come to, how people can move through all of this in just a moment. But there's also a high risk, isn't there, Anne-Marie, of family disruption and conflict and relationship breakdown in the aftermath of a death by suicide?
Yeah, so unfortunately, it's not just the suicide, even though that's obviously so significant, but there are the downstream effects of this too. So HUG is a suicide bereavement charity that has conducted research in this area. And we also have, of course, the National Office for Suicide Prevention. So we know from this a little bit about the Irish experience. And certainly there's just so much complexity to it. And some of those effects for people are that their own mental health, of course, will suffer, right, in a lot of cases. The mental health suffers, also physical health can take a decline, and people might turn to substances to help cope with that. So family disruption and breakdown is also something that comes from this, because in a family situation, a part of that family isn't there anymore. And however that occurs is difficult, but of course it's more complicated when it's in this particular manner. Mm-hmm. So the manner in which a person dies really has a bearing on that experience, and whether that experience is stressful for a person or whether it's actually traumatic for a person. And that will affect the family system then as well.
Well, let's talk about now how you can move through this really difficult time. You want people, Harry, to stick to routines, if possible.
Yes. If there was one golden piece of advice, when this happens to you, and it will happen, unfortunately, to more parents out there, you've got to cling to routine. Think of it as if you were drowning and you hold on to a life buoy. Routine is what will keep you going. Getting up every day, doing the same thing, especially if other children, that's what keeps you going. And if you ally that to clinging like mad to the love of those around you, all those people who love you and care about you and are putting their arms around you, don't be afraid to accept that love. Mm-hmm. And it's routine and the love of those people that will actually really get you through this.
I'm sure you've had people say to you, that's fine, and I can see the logic in that, but I can't face anybody. I don't want to see anybody.
But one of my big things is, you know, every person must deal with this grief, with this loss, their own way. There is no right way. I think that's really important. So for some people, maybe they need to go away. As Christy Keneally said beautifully one time at a conference, he said, maybe sometimes we have to go away and rummage in the rubble of our grief for a while. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we may have to go away and literally, you know, experience that pain, live with that pain, be with that pain for a while. But there will come a point in time where we have to move on. Do you know what I mean? In the sense of when we say move on, never move on. You will never move on from the loss of the person you love. They will always be there. The pain will be there. The loss will be there. The sadness will be there. But what you can do is you can try to learn to accept, for example, the concept of change. This is really important to me, that if you can get the person to see their life will never be the same again. It will never be the same again. And the only people who really understand that are other parents. Mm. Mm. It's kind of like accepting this reality that this person is gone and your life is going to be different. And everything, all the plans and ideas and hopes that you had and dreams for the life of the person who's gone, they are gone. And you will have to change, and you will have to change with that.
Yeah, Anne-Marie, I can hear you agreeing with that, but it's so hard
to do that. And
yeah.
To be honest, I think it's too hard to do alone. I think there are many life stressors that we meet that we can cope with ourselves or can cope with by relying on people in our communities. But I think professional support is needed for a suicide bereavement, and I would take it. I would look for it and I would take it. And people sometimes don't or are reluctant to because of the fear of stigma or judgment, but take it. Because you'll need it, honestly. I think people do need it. And there's one other piece of information I want to talk about. Sometimes when people are bereaved by suicide or somebody close to them has been, they wonder, what can we do? And of course, suicide happens, but it's also planned. There can be multiple attempts, right? And people themselves who have maybe had suicidal ideation, they may not want to take their own life in future, and they might want to plan around that. So something that might be helpful for people to know who are in that situation or who know people who are, is that there's a concept called safety planning interventions. And that's where a person at risk of suicide engages with the mental health supports to create a plan, a simple plan about triggers for them when they're in crisis, places and people that might provide support, contact details and so on. And the idea is that coming together and making a plan for when a person is in crisis and that person has that plan stored accessibly to them, maybe on their phone, for example, it might help them take a positive step in a moment of crisis rather than a much more difficult and challenging step.
Well, so yeah, but just as you're saying that, I would imagine that's really important for grieving parents as well, who are very much at risk, aren't they?
They are. Anyone who's experienced a suicide bereavement is at a greater level of risk, and it's important that they are professionally supported. And perhaps if there's a risk of suicide, if the suicidal ideation, that a safety plan intervention could be effective. So it's not perfect. It's just one component of support, but it has been shown to be effective in other countries. Mm-hmm. And in Ireland, we are looking to do that now. So if somebody would like to support us with that, you can go to midwestaries.ie to be involved in helping increase access to safety planning interventions.
So Midwest Aries, and Aries is spelled like the star sign,
like
isn't
the
it?
The star sign, yeah.
Okay, Midwest Aries. Is that .com or .ie?
.ie. .ie. Help with this, yeah.
Okay, and Harry, you want people to try to get to a point where they understand that the aim of the person who died by suicide was never to hurt you or to leave you in pain.
I think this is really important, that very often the one problem I have with the concept of the plan is it excludes the possibility that the person had gone into a suicide cocoon. Do you know what I mean? Where they had literally made up their mind sometime before and literally surround themselves in a cocoon. Mm-hmm. And that can be very, very difficult.
So there are some cases where you'll never know.
You'll never know. Mm-hmm, you simply won't know. And one of the key things for me, if I had one desire and one plea to all parents who are struggling in this area, please do away with the word why. because all that we know is that the person who took their own life was in pain for some reason that we don't know. And they weren't able, they weren't in a position for varying reasons to share the pain they felt at that moment in time with those around them. So it's not that they didn't love you. In fact, they often love you so much they don't want to upset you, actually, which is almost beyond belief.
But the parent will always it's your job to keep your child
yes,
safe.
Yes, it is. We as parents, it's our job. We feel it. And therefore, it's particularly hard for a particularly... I shouldn't pick out the mother versus the father because it's really hard for both. But it's particularly hard for the mother because the mother really has this feeling of, you know, he should have come to me. Do you know what I mean? Whatever about coming to the father, do you know what I mean? He should come to me, the mum. So the mum often feels very, very... I mean, I have had mums who want to join the person, do you know what I mean? Because they feel so that the why is getting to them so much.
I do think, Harry, though, the why, I mean, it could absolutely consume somebody forever, but asking the question of why is probably a step to realising that you won't have an answer. So there will be a time where people will ask why an awful lot, and then they might come to the conclusion that they can't answer that question.
I totally agree with that, Anne-Marie, but I think what bothers me is when I see a person blocked with grief because they can't get beyond why. Do you know, they can't move beyond that why. Mm-hmm. And the only way you will ever move on with the grief of somebody who, of a parent who of a child who dies by suicide is to accept the sadness, to go with the sadness and pain, and to accept that it will be with you all the way. It's not, it's like a load you carry on your back.
Okay.
But you develop healing, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you want to put it in so much as it's ever possible to heal, when you learn to accept that and that you have to move on and you have to deal with the change.
We are coming to the end now. But before we do, Anne-Marie, I know you would believe and recommend that it's really important to find positive ways to talk about that child, to remember that person and to celebrate their life in some way.
I do, because I think sometimes when we lose somebody in a complicated way, we feel we don't have opportunity or opportunities are constrained to talk about them. And that loss will never be gone, but you should be allowed to talk about all the ups and downs of life with that person if that's what you want to do. And I hope people feel open to having those conversations because we all need that support and that group particularly need it.
Okay, well, look, I hope if anyone is listening to this today and, you know, something that you've heard has upset you or raised some memories that you're finding difficult to cope with, please go to rte.ie/helplines where you'll find all of the information that you need. Harry and Anne-Marie, thank you both so much for being with us.